loving words that we can say, and we say it so bold. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston. Welcome home.
Mike Honig on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. My host is Andrew Ferguson.
Co-host, yes, absolutely.
Co-host.
Don't want to take your spot.
No, you don't. You don't want to take my spot.
I really don't.
Okay. I'm going to give out the number first because I think it's going to be that kind of show.
Hmm.
The number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. All right, so election stuff we're going to blow past. It's basically harrisvotes.com and votetexas.gov and get your information, and we have a little time before the next election when I can go into that more. Let's see. Yes, I'm going through my notes. You can hear the paper rustling. Okay, so I figured there are, I think the COVID-19 thing, you know, I always tell people I try to stay away from the stuff above the fold. Mm-hmm. I try to do above the fold and inside. Unfortunately, right now, the COVID-19 is above the fold. It's below the fold. It's inside. And I have some other topics I can touch on. But given my aversion to talking about what everybody is talking about, I tried to find maybe some aspects of the COVID-19 thing that perhaps are not getting enough discussion, but that people have in their mind as questions. So, first of all, I would mention, you know, I've talked about universal health insurance as a national security issue. And here we are. So, just saying. Representative Devin Nunes, you know, the Russian asset, who is the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee in Congress, he was saying he's treating this like a normal economic slowdown. He's encouraging people, go out and shop, go out and go to restaurants, go out and go to bars, give the economy a boost, support your local. And no, that is exactly the opposite of what everyone says you should be doing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of Nunes normal.
Well, okay.
You know, it's like it's not Russia, it's Ukraine. This is Nunes normal. Okay, to give you a notion of just how serious this can get, right now in Italy, there is an article, I have a link to it on my site, thinkwingradio.com, today's blog show post. I did get it published before I came here.
Excellent.
I work very hard, folks. I surprisingly do. And I think it was from Associated Press or Reuters. Italians over 80, quote, this is the headline.
Yeah.
Italians over 80, quote, will be left to die, unquote, as the country is overwhelmed by the coronavirus. They just don't have enough beds. So it's almost becoming like battlefield triage.
This is only for intensive care beds, though.
Well, this is the people that need, yes, ICU, the people that need ventilators, the people that need intensive care. If they're over 80, they'll be made comfortable and, of course, you know, provided fluids and stuff like that. But if the ventilators are in short supply, they're not going to, use the ventilators on those folks. Also, if you're under 80 but have some underlying health conditions of significance that they did not list in the article,
yeah,
you also essentially are going to be triaged out of a ventilator or whatever.
Hmm.
So, you know, we toss around the phrase very glibly that things are a matter of life or death.
Hmm.
We are now... I don't want to create a panic. We don't need to panic. Panic kills.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so it's always... I mean, I have been in situations, major and minor, where my first impulse is the adrenaline starts to go, and my hands start to shake, and it's like, I'm not going to get this done. How am I going to do this in time? And I just have a mantra. Be calm. Don't panic. Because... not panicking, you know, it's kind of like when you keep changing lanes on the highway trying to get the fastest lane, and you always get the lane that, because it was fast, everybody's going into it, and now it's... that's essentially the equivalent. Stay calm, don't panic. Douglas Adams said it best, do not panic. Interestingly, Douglas Adams also said bring a towel.
Hmm.
That also may not be a bad idea as things happen. Let's see. There is also...
well, just...
yeah, go ahead.
Just to quickly, you know, this article specifically about the space for the beds, it is about people who need intensive care. So it is about people who are already in
severe,
dire straits.
Yes.
Yeah, by the coronavirus.
And essentially, they're going to be triaged out of a ventilator,
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah,
if that stuff is in short supply.
And these people are going to be elderly people. They're also going to be immunocompromised people.
Yeah.
But
so under 80 with other underlying conditions that triage them out.
Yeah, exactly. But it is worth remembering that if you are not an elderly person, if you do not have a compromised immune system from, you know, for example, HIV or any number of other diseases that can weaken your immune system, you are probably not going to end up in this intensive care situation from coronavirus.
Here's how I see it. I'm 69, going on a half. So that puts me kind of on the cusp of that high-risk age group. Now, for me, I don't tend to get sick. I don't think it's because I'm a shut-in, because I have enough external contact here at the station, going shopping, stuff like that. So I feel like if I was very susceptible, I will be. Yes, I will be taking callers. I was just asked in my ear. But I just want to get through some stuff first. Now, I don't tend to get sick. I mean, the last time I was seriously ill was almost 20 years ago when I came down with walking pneumonia. But aside from that, I don't tend to get sick. So do I feel relatively safe with reasonable precautions? I do. Do I know if I have any immunity to this, if my immune system can fight it? I don't. Time will tell. Another thing that I think is important is, you know, we have a president who's been really underplaying this. You know, he's the PR president. And here's a statistic that I think is a little daunting. You know, we've talked about a 2% fatality rate, which can be better or worse depending on the level of intensive care that is available for those who get truly sick. If half of Americans, just half, about 175 million, if half of Americans contracted this, and if there was a 2% fatality rate...
now, hold on. Is that 2% or
0.2%? 2.
Hmm.
Yeah, the flu is like 0.01.
Because the figure I heard at first was that it was a 0.2% fatality rate.
No,
okay.
It's 2. It's, in some cases, in some demographics, it's 4 or 15 in some demographics. Overall...
mm-hmm.
So far, we're looking at about a 2% fatality rate, which is about 50 times the flu. Now, if half of the population gets some form of COVID-19, whether it's very mild or somewhere up on the higher end of the scale, that could mean 3.5 million dead Americans. That's just to put this in perspective. But I emphasize again, and I'm not joking, don't panic. Just do the stuff that you should be doing. And actually, I have some talk about that. Do I still have Wayne on the front? Okay, I'm going to give out the number again. I mean, I have a lot of stuff I want to cover for sort of like the public good, but I do want callers with questions. 713-526-5738. You may have to wait, but please do, because this is important stuff. Okay, Wayne, you are...
About to be on the air.
I don't know. Wayne, are you there?
Wayne is not on the air yet.
I didn't think so. I think we got some kind of an interruption.
I think
Wayne is going to have to call back.
I think we dropped Wayne, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sorry, that happens from time
to
time.
I'll tell you what, because I've been yapping now for a while, our timer in here isn't work, so I'm going off my watch.
Mm.
I will take callers. I promise I'll take callers. But there's just so much information. I have to intersperse that among your questions and comments. So there is a fake text message or a text message going around with fake information. It says, within 48 to 72 hours, the president will evoke what is called the Stafford Act. This person says, just got off the phone with some of my military friends in D.C. who had a two-hour briefing. The president will order a two-week mandatory quarantine for the nation. Stock up on whatever you guys need to make sure you have a two-week supply. I have Nancy on the phone. I'm going to take her right now. But just so you know, around this message, that's all false.
Hmm.
Okay, there's more detail to be had. But Nancy, are you there?
Almost.
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 Almost. We're working on it.
We're working on it.
Okay, well, until Nancy is there, just sing out when you're on the line. There was an article from Vox.com, and the headline is, "The Fake Text Message About the Stafford Act and a National Quarantine Explained. Don't Believe Everything You Read Online." That's the full title. Okay, well, let's try to get Miss Nancy on. I think we just cut her off.
Again, we've dropped her, so that's our fault. Sorry about that,
folks. We're going to be dealing with some technical issues. Oh. Who do we got?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Wayne. Is that you, Wayne?
Yeah, it's me.
It's been a struggle, but we got you. Hey, man, right. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, you keep hitting the wrong button, guy.
Look, sorry, here. Sorry.
This is Wayne. Remember, me and you had a conversation back about 3 years ago about when some certain person got elected. Remember what I told you about a financial crisis and the economy and what happens when Republicans become in control of the world.
I don't remember specifically, but go ahead and refresh.
Yeah, it was about what we have now, a recession.
Yes.
That he wouldn't make it through his first term without a recession.
I think we pretty much agreed on that, but we didn't think it would be because of a highly communicable virus.
It's not the only thing. It's not the only reason, but
it was a trigger.
This was bound to happen. It was bound to happen without a communicable disease or anything. This is just how the Republicans, when they don't govern, when you don't know how to govern, this is what's going to happen, Mike.
Well,
that was a conversation.
Here's the thing. They,
about governing.
The Republicans.
By him taking all those people off those jobs.
Yes.
Things that were already set in place.
Hollowed out the government.
That was set in place for this kind of stuff. I don't think it would have been this dire if that hadn't happened. You see what I'm saying?
Well, when you say, hold on a second. When you say that the Republicans don't know how to govern,
yeah,
that's an easy allegation to make. But as a devil's advocate, I might take exception to that. I think they know precisely how to govern the way they want to, which is to get nothing done. Because
exactly.
As Grover Norquist keeps saying, they want to shrink, at least there's a portion of them, that want to shrink government small enough that they can drown it in the tub. So this is Republican governing. It's not Republican failing to govern. This is how they govern. And that's an important distinction to remember.
Okay, I'll give you that. But let's say if we had people in the health department that were there that they fired that were doing these diseases and stuff like this here, I still don't think this at this point would have gotten to this point here in America.
Well, you remember when Ron Paul was running for president, at one point during the debates, he was asked about the mandatory coverage of Obamacare. And he was against mandatory coverage because he's for small government, libertarian style in a fashion. And when he was asked, so what does that mean? If a young person gets sick and they die because they did not opt into the health care, we should just let them die? And his answer, in short, was, yeah, you know, they took the gamble. That's what freedom is all about. Let them die. So you have, these are the people, I mean, there are gradations within this ideology, but these are the people that we're dealing with.
Yeah, but we see we sideline Ron Paul and his libertarian views. And again, a lot of the libertarian views are into the Republican Party.
And the only difference was he spoke them.
Huh?
Ron Paul spoke them.
Whereas mainstream Republicans don't.
He spoke them. But when you hear Republicans advocating for smaller government, they still talking libertarian talk. That's code word for libertarian.
They're sunny day libertarians. They also have highly authoritarian views in some areas. They're libertarians when it suits them. They're authoritarians when it suits them. So I don't know that there's an ideology there, except we want what we want and we don't care what the damage is as long as we're good. That's kind of, if there's an ideology, that seems to be the only one I can discern.
Well, but I kind of think that, I hate to say this, but I kind of think that with their thinking, they're kind of getting what they deserve, Mike.
Well, we're getting what they deserve. We'll have to see if they get what they deserve.
We don't deserve this.
No.
This is a learning lesson for a lot of people in America all over this world. This is a very learning lesson for a lot of people right now. And instead of talking fake news and all of that there crazy stuff that I hear now, conspiracies and things, they better be thinking, real thinking.
Okay, Wayne, I got several other callers, and I need to let you go, but I do appreciate, as always, your contact. Take care. Okay, you're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. My co-host is Andrew Ferguson. I don't know why I have so much trouble just getting my throat and mouth. It's nothing personal. I like Andrew. We hang out after the show, but just something. Maybe if your name was John Smith or...
Well, you've been doing this show for how long?
6.5 years.
Yeah, so it's a transition period. So
yeah, I guess that's it. I'll take that story and run with it. Okay, I think we finally have a good connection with Nancy. I appreciate your stick-to-itiveness. Nancy, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am.
Thank goodness. So talk to me.
Okay, did you get your e-ballot? For the Pacifica referendum vote.
I did, and I voted.
Oh, you did? Well, good, good.
I try to be a diligent guy. I don't miss many elections.
Yeah, I know. You're very good in saying vote, 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 vote.
Yeah, that's okay. My thing, my nag.
Okay, I want to tell the listeners, if they got their e-ballot, because a lot of staff and a lot of...
Okay, tell them what you're talking about, that this is like Pacifica bylaws for the whole network.
Yes. This is going to be a membership vote, which has never been done before, and it's coming from, the e-ballots, the electronic ballots, will probably be inside of people's spam folder, and they may not found it, not even know it's going on.
And sometimes that spam folder has already deleted it because there's usually a time frame on it, so you may have to go to the website.
Oh, that's good information. Okay, so first look there, and if you don't find it, it was sent out after February 18th to every member of Pacifica, KPFD members, and all over Pacifica. So if you don't find it, go to elections.pacifica.org, elections.pacifica.org, and you can click to get a new e-ballot.
Now, also remember, the ballot shows all 5 of the Pacifica-owned stations. You have to make sure you pick the ballot for the correct station.
Oh, yes.
Because it shows KPFA, KPFK, KPFT, WBAI. So you have to make sure that when you pick a ballot, you pick a ballot for the station that you listen to.
Oh, I did not do that. I ordered a... thank you for saying that, because I did not know that. Because I ordered a paper ballot in the last election. And if you did, you will receive a paper ballot for this election. And it needs to be mailed today.
Oh, really? Today's the deadline?
It's got to get to the Queensboro of New York City by Thursday, March 19th. So, okay.
Well, it's a little late to get it postmarked today, but if you drop it in the box, it should be postmarked no later than tomorrow.
Well, they want it received by Thursday. I might, you know, if you're going to send it today, I might pay a little extra to get it a little faster, maybe.
It's usually 3 days.
And the paper ballot is new this time, a new thing in Pacifica. There's no barcode on the paper ballot, so staff and members have a security that knows nobody else is going to know how they voted.
I think you can also request a replacement e-ballot, which might be effective
until
as well.
4 p.m. Until noon, I'm sorry, Eastern Standard Time noon of Thursday.
Okay.
Until that time, you can okay. get a replacement ballot. Okay, and so if you want to know what it's about, I'll tell you, it's going to give change the whole structure of Pacifica from the democratically elected structure, because we elect all five station network elect 122 people. That's two affiliates that represent the 200 affiliate stations that are all over the United States, and then there's 120, which is 24 board members. That's 18 listeners and 6 staff at each of the five stations. So if it passes, if a yes vote wins, this is what will happen. The power, the big power in the national board will go to the 6 at-large members or directors who are not even elected. They're selected by the writers of these bylaw amendments. And most of them, the writers were from KPFA area.
Okay, I'm going to just inject something here.
Yes.
I'm not going to take a side on the air.
Yes. That's good.
I will say I don't have a college degree, but I've taken courses, and I'm somewhat self-educated as well. And I did take some prerequisite business courses.
Uh-huh.
And a course that I took at Baruch College in New York was a prerequisite management course, you know, Management 101. And mm-hmm. I always tell people, I preface this with, and I don't think this violates any FCC guidelines, the teacher was kind of a dick. Okay? I mean, he really was. You know, this is a prerequisite course, and his objective was to thin the herd of so only the people that really deserve. It's a prerequisite course, for God's sake. Anyway, so the thing that he said that I've always remembered, and I did learn some other things in the course, but this thing that he said he was also a freelance business consultant. And when he went into a business with problems that was decentralized, he centralized it. And when he went into a business with problems that was centralized, he decentralized it. So he had a very simple pattern that he used in terms of his evaluation. Now, to put that in the Pacifica scenario, a few years ago, maybe a decade or so ago, Pacifica went for this highly democratic, multiple-layer elected boards, many boards. And as people do, the politics got really crazy. And even on the air several years ago, I said that there are some people running the station who would love Pacifica to death, that they just want it to be what they want it to be, and things don't happen, or things happen badly, or sometimes, you know, no decision is effectively a decision, and then things as a result flow from that are bad. So, you know, this is kind of the situation that we're facing with this Pacifica vote. Do you want it to remain decentralized, where it will look the way it looks and have the issues that it has, or do you want to move to something that's admittedly less democratic, more centralized, a little more authoritarian, kind of like a state of emergency for the network, you could look at it as. And as my teacher said, when you see a decentralized organization having problems, the solution is some form of centralization. So I don't think that's me taking a side. That's me telling you what my Management 101 teacher told me.
And you can decide whether Mike's management teacher is smart in this situation or not.
Well, he was a dick, but he wasn't stupid. He really was. I mean, I've had teachers that I loved. This guy was not one.
And I think it's fair to say, Nancy, that you would oppose. You would not be in favor.
We infer that you're against these changes.
Yeah, is that correct?
Or do you wish not to say?
Or do you wish not to say?
I don't want to influence people. I just want to tell the facts. Yeah, okay. I think it's best to do that.
I love that. And, thank you.
And I don't. And I don't. I don't have anything personal against these six at-large directors who have not even offered a platform. They've just been chosen by the people who wrote these amendments. But they, when they have to be replaced, they will elect and their replacements. So they'll be self-electing, and we're putting all the six of the national board will outnumber the five that are elected. There'll be, instead of 24 members elected from each station's board, local station board, which is really a subcommittee of the national board. It's not really a local station. We call it local station board, but it's actually a subcommittee of the national board.
Right. And the layers of subcommittees, some people feel, are the problem.
Well, look, it's just, we don't have too many hard workers. A lot of people have full-time jobs, and so they can only, you know, come to committees at night, and they're kind of tired. So we have like five or six of the board members who actually will be attending the outreach committee or the governance committee or the development committee.
I don't belong to any of these. I don't want to do station politics. I really don't. I just want to do my show. But I have been present for portions of a couple, three meetings, and they get very antagonistic. And I can certainly see how there could be a root of a problem there.
Well, there are some people inside Pacifica who would like to sell off the WBAI signal.
Yes.
And they've been wanting, because that signal is right in the middle of the commercial range, and it's worth, is we don't know how much it's worth, but maybe one estimate was $100 million.
Yeah, there's a whole, I mean, there's a whole background story to this, which we would have to dedicate an hour.
Oh no, I don't want to go there, but I don't think the people know that they've this referendum is going on, and so I just want them to know this, and that you would be. You know, one thing bad.
And by the way, if you donate $40 to KPFT, you will be eligible to vote. You can just go straight to kpft.org, click on donate, donate $40. Magic, you're a member.
Preferably by specifying our show as well.
Preferably by specifying our show, because that's our version of ratings.
Mm. So, well, actually, the present bylaw, which is still in effect, it's $25 per year or 3 hours of volunteer work at the station, and then if you are too poor to pay, or you're too you're challenged, so you cannot physically come to the station, you have a right to ask for a free membership.
Now, my recollection is that the $25 is a non-voting membership.
No, you need to read the bylaws, and
I may.
Promise you, it's correct. $25. It's been $25. Since the bylaws were
written. I will yield to your presumed greater knowledge.
But there's a lot of confusion because one former manager says, hey, it's 40 years. Why don't we just give $40 for, you know, celebrating the 40th birthday?
That's good, too.
And it confused everybody, but no, it's not.
Well, we can celebrate the 50th birthday with $50.
Well, those who can afford it, yay. But
and, of course, if you're Jewish, you can donate multiples of chai, starting with $36, which is 2 times 18, because chai is the equivalent of Roman numerals, except it's Hebrew numerals. So multiples of 18 are generally considered a mitzvah or a blessing. Hmm. So bless this show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now wait a minute. You brought up something. In this new, if you vote yes on this, and the new bylaws will take over, what you'll be able to do, they will stagger the elections of each one director. Instead of 24, it'll be just one person you'll be electing.
Which allows for some institutional knowledge to remain.
No, they'll stagger the station elections.
Right.
So a person living in New York could pay $25, or they're going to raise it to double, $50.
Yeah, they're going to go to 50, which is probably where it ought to be.
And they could vote in the Houston KPFT directorship.
Yes.
Or somebody in KPFA, and they have lots of people. They have like 18,000 members. KPFT is around 3,000-plus members. And so they have lots of votes.
Okay, Nancy, I'm going to have to – I appreciate the call very much. No, that's fine. You're enthusiastic, and you're informative, and I love it.
Vote.
And you've been helpful. Just repeat one more time the website to ask for a ballot, and then I have to let you go.
Okay. Elections. elections with an S, ELECTIONS, .pacifica.org. And if you want to know more information, there are two websites, pro and against, or against.
Now, are they at the website you listed? I think there's a link there.
Yes, it has the pro, and then it has the debates that were done at...
and it's very informative, I have to admit. I read it, so yes, it's
informative. Yeah, the KPFA debate was March 11th.
Got to go.
Yeah, okay, thank
you. Thank you, Nancy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Johnny, did you say Rod is up next? Rod, you're on the air, Rod. Thank you for being patient.
Yay!
What's up?
Yay! Hey, quick note.
Yes.
I think you guys need to talk about the paid leave, and that's what was talked about at the press conference today that Sheila Jackson Lee was talking about. The paid leave is people that work in the service industry, people that work in the restaurant, bar industry that are going to be affected by the virus.
Now, I'm a little confused on the specifics. At first, I thought they were saying...
The specifics aren't out right now.
Yeah, exactly.
They're still working on it because they have to go through the Senate.
I mean, what I thought I heard at the beginning, and you're right, because until it gets through the Senate, nobody knows what it's going to look like. But I thought that it was companies with over 500 employees would have to pay paid leave. And then I heard, no, it's just the reverse. Companies with over 500 employees don't have to pay paid leave. And companies under 50 employees have to pay paid leave, but they can apply for a hardship credit on their taxes. I don't know, man.
The way it's structured, I think, right now, because you, like I said, you don't really know until what finally is passed.
If anything.
If anything else. And what the fight is about is people that work in the service industry are the same people that are dealing with your food, dealing with giving you drinks or whatever, and you want to make sure those people are not coming to work sick.
Right.
You know, because they're more likely.
I have to inject. People should never come to work sick, because that is how flu and colds and other things spread. They should never come to work sick.
Well, if you're in a position that you can call in, you can't call in sick. A lot of people are not in a position that they can call in sick and still pay the bill.
Right, exactly. That's what paid leave is for.
You even can deal with the people that work at the Taco Bell and that type of fast food.
Yep.
A lot of people that work there can't afford to take sick time. And what this bill, I think, takes care of is giving 2 to 3 weeks for you to either stay home with your family members that's sick or stay home and deal with your own situation that's sick. I think 2 to 3 weeks is not a lot of time. But at least it's something, and you'll be paid to stay at home and get well.
Yeah, essentially, you're being paid for national security so you don't get 50 other people sick.
Well, something else that was discussed also is putting up MASH units around town.
I heard Rachel that was discussed. I don't know if the idea originated there or if she had heard it somewhere else.
No, it's something that's... it's something that was the congresswoman was talking about, dealing with the having MASH units as an extra supply of
they basically have the medical supplies that they need for war to maintain a fighting force, and that's part of their function in a national emergency.
Right. So that's one of the things that was also discussed is having MASH units as far as extra beds for people that are, if it gets to that point, because people, that's what they do. They're specialized in a war situation, so to speak.
A high volume patient inflow.
Right. Right. MASH is not the TV show still. It's an actual real unit.
Yeah. A mobile Army Surgical Hospital. That's what it is.
That's what it is, yeah. But a lot of people don't know that. TV show.
Yeah, they just think it's an Alan Alda thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Or a Donald Sutherland thing, depending on which one you saw.
Yeah. So that was brought up, but it's supposedly the city's working on also having testing sites, that drive-through testing sites. around town.
Yeah, you know, when they were talking about having 1.9 million test kits available this week, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Of course, we can't believe anything that comes out of this government until it's on the ground.
Well, that's being discussed also, having more units. That's been brought up to the president. That's something that's in the works.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm so sure.
It's not just being talked about.
Yeah, I know. That's what they keep saying. All right, Rod. I'm going to ask you to wrap up so I can let you go.
Oh well, go ahead. I just wanted to give you an update on what's going on.
You've been helpful. I appreciate that.
That's what I do.
Thank you, sir. Take care. All right, you're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. My co-host is Andrew Ferguson, and I think we just lost Kevin. Kevin, please call back.
Yeah, we're still figuring out
some
issues.
Yeah, we got some stuff. This is KPFT, man. This is volunteer, community-supported radio.
And it's real. It's not fake. It's not scripted. It's nothing like that. This is real
radio.
Well,
now, I'm a little scripted.
Well, okay, he's a little scripted,
I'm
not.
No, he's not. Andrew is totally unscripted. He's totally on the fly. Mm. I am 75% on the fly. Mm. I take a note and run with it.
Sure.
Okay, while we're getting our next caller, hopefully it's Kevin. We'll see. On this text about this false text message about the Stafford Act, this is the essence of what I felt was important in the article. And you can go to my blog post, thinkwingradio.com. You can click on the article and see the rest of it. But here's the essence. This thing about the Stafford Act and mandatory self-quarantine for 2 weeks and stock up, not true. Well, there is a law known as the Robert T. Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance Act. They used to know had a name, Bill.
Oh, they sure did.
They actually named them what they were, not some political version of what they want them to think they were. Anyway, so this is the act that Trump used to declare a national health emergency, the state of national health emergency. A lot of people are saying, does that mean he can, like, postpone the election and take over the government? Legitimate concerns in the context of our current country,
but no.
This law does not permit him to do that, and elections cannot be changed without a literal act of Congress. Hmm. So the national state of health emergency for the coronavirus pandemic primarily allows the federal government to assist states in their disaster relief efforts or to provide assistance directly to disaster victims. It does not permit the president to unilaterally declare a nationwide quarantine. Important information that I don't know has gotten out into the public very much. I'm going to get to Kevin, and after Kevin, I've actually got a whole thing about should you dine out in public or have stuff delivered or just eat what you make at home, and I've got some information on that. So after Kevin, we'll get to that. Kevin, I think you're going to go on the air shortly.
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 Shortly. There you are. Kevin.
All
Thank
right.
You for calling back. How
you know
doing?
What? Yeah, you need to tell all those people that have been shopping at Costco and taking all that toilet paper that it all came from China and it's been accidentally contaminated by coronavirus, okay?
Well, first of all, I don't want to spread rumors like that. And you
it's
shouldn't
a joke.
No, it's a bad joke in a time
no, it deserves,
like this.
Those knuckle jobs deserve to be scared again, okay? Those are the people that are the followers. They're the ones that screw everything up for everybody else,
That's
okay?
true. That part is true, but there are people of Asian descent who are at this moment being harassed by people that believe that things coming from China are spreading coronavirus. So it's not even something you should joke about.
All right. I'll be serious.
Okay.
Are you Jewish?
I am. Well, non-practicing,
well,
but yeah.
Well, close. If you recall your Jewish history, remember around 70 AD how the Romans were attacking Jerusalem?
I vaguely recall.
Okay, well, let's play.
I think that they tore down the temple at that time, did they not?
Well, before they could, they were at the gates, they were at the walls. You had the Jews inside who made it really easy for the Romans because they were fighting among themselves. They were killing each other, burning each other's food supply, which is exactly what KPFT and Pacifica is doing. The Romans are your bill collectors, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you got you guys, not you, I think you have a little bit more common sense, but the ones that want to be in control of this. You have some people, and I think Nancy's one of them, that
Well, to be fair, Nancy didn't take a side.
Definitely that Dwayne Lark guy. He would rather have Pacifica fail with minorities in charge than have white people being able to fix the situation if the only people that could fix it are white. He would rather be in charge and fail. Okay?
Well, if you're talking about the Dwayne that I know, I think that that's entirely unfair.
No, it's the Dwayne I heard debating that Bill Crozier, okay? Bill Crozier, I really don't know the guy. I've heard of the name. I've never met him, to my knowledge. He might be someone who enjoys setting kittens and puppies on fire, okay? But
I think you're
the only color that black and brown don't matter.
Here's the thing.
Okay?
First of all, I don't think that it's fair to talk about white people in this context, that white people are going to solve the problem.
Wait.
And I think the other problem is I don't think it's appropriate to speak in the kind of hyperbole that you're speaking.
I also think you're talking about a different Dwayne than either of us know.
Yeah, and I mean, I want to hear what you have to say, but I must insist you dial it back a little, like to
how
five. Okay?
Ideology does not pay the bills. How about that one?
Yeah, I can go with that.
Okay, and right now, you cannot have ideology. I mean, if it took Ted Cruz to basically fix Pacifica, would you do it or not?
Well, you know,
that's a very extreme thing, but I'm trying to say it's the survival of this network.
In District
7,
most people listening
do not know how bad it is.
In Congressional District 7, which is the west side of Harris County, I don't recall who the congressman was, but he was a Republican and he was a conservative.
Culberson,
thank you. You know, I wouldn't vote for him, but, you know, he did deliver money to the Houston area. He was pro-space. He was pro-medical center. You know, he did his job as a representative of Houston, regardless of whether you agreed with his politics. He delivered money. So did
Ron Paul. He delivered a lot of money for his district.
He did.
Newt Gingrich delivered a lot of money for his district.
Which is not an endorsement of his politics. It's just a statement of his accomplishments as a representative.
Right.
So I think, yeah, you know, if Ted Cruz wanted to sponsor a bill that funded Pacifica or PBS for that matter, but, you know, he doesn't like either of those things, yeah, we would be for that. Ooh. I will also point out that one of the reasons that we are currently a 100% community-supported station is because our management fell behind in things like state-mandated audits. So there have been management issues that have created some of the problems. Other issues were contracts at WBAI that they couldn't extract themselves from after 9/11. I mean, it's all very, very complicated, but management has been a factor.
And a lot of things, yes. And, you know, radio isn't as popular as it was in the past, because there's just more forms of information and, you know, out there with, you know, the internet.
All the media are competing for ears.
Correct.
And eyes.
You know, but the amount of people listening to KPFT, I think it's been cut in half from its high. Am I correct?
I don't know if I would pick a number. I know that our listenership is down. I know that our donor base is down. I think also our donor base has been aging, which is something we're trying to reverse. I would like to think that what I do brings ears to the station that otherwise might dismiss it as too lefty. I mean, I'm probably the most conservative liberal at the station. I like to think that my airtime helps to bring something to the station that otherwise it wouldn't have.
And you did say something correct. You believe the membership fee should be doubled. And the people are voting no on this. They don't want it double. They want the same price, a dime a day, Monday through Friday for, you know, 50 weeks out of the year.
And, I mean, I understand a little bit of both sides here. You know, they don't want the membership to be limited only to people who can afford that $50. I'm not going to say, well, you know, it's only like $4.50 a month. Why can't, you know, I mean, I understand how it is to be hard up. I've been hard up.
How come our roads aren't being maintained? Because the gas tax here in Texas is the same amount as it was 25, 30 years ago.
I agree. And I have said many times on the air that you get the government you pay for. You can't ask for more services and then ask for tax cuts.
Correct.
And so we're on the same page, yeah, except for, like, the slightly racist stuff at the beginning. Aside from that, we're pretty much, you know, as long as you've dialed it back to 5, we're pretty much on the same page.
Okay. Well, then tell everybody to vote yes.
I cannot do that. I will not do that. Mm-hmm. But I've already voted, so I know how I feel.
And I have a feeling I know how you voted, too. All right,
okay,
then.
Thank you have very much, day. Kevin. Appreciate your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we do still have some time for callers. 713-526-5738. I could tell you 713-526-KPFT, but I hate that, because now you're going to search your keypad for letters. 713-526-5738. And we have enough time that I can pretty much guarantee if you call, you'll get on the air. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. My co-host is Andrew Ferguson. It's coming out smoother now.
It's coming out smoother.
It'll
nice.
Just take a few months, and I'll be there.
You know, I actually want to...
I think you have so many syllables. It's
yeah,
just,
that could
you know,
be it.
That's the thing.
You know, I actually do want to quickly talk about the Pacifica bylaw election from the perspective of someone who is unsure of whether he has membership or not, certainly hasn't gotten a ballot. And I may need to do something
well,
about that.
Well, your staff, and you certainly put in
I'm not paid.
Your staff, your volunteer staff. You are. I'm staff, you're staff.
Is that how it's...
That is how
okay.
it works. Whether
All
or not
right.
you've donated money, I think that if you log in the book, you've probably dedicated enough hours
probably.
That you should be considered a member.
Yeah, but I'm not a member right now as I know.
So what you need to do is check to see if you've gotten a ballot, check your junk mail. If you don't have a ballot, go to the website and request an e-ballot.
I mean, you know, the fundamental conflict, I think, here is between people who are like, okay, we have got to compromise on the democracy or the pluralist or the populist
populist idea of
governance
is the word.
In Pacifica in order to make sure
the Greek democratic
survives.
Model
sure we've got to compromise on the populism a little bit in order to make sure that Pacifica survives and can keep existing as an entity. And then there are people who say, wait a minute, if we start compromising on the populist idea now, it will make it easier to just throw it out the window later. And, you know, and to be honest, I can see, you know, I can see the pragmatism argument, but I can also see the idealism argument, you know, because protecting ideals, if you get an ideal into power, you do have to protect it. Otherwise,
and on the other
it.
Hand, though, having an ideal that doesn't get into power, you know, that may be a heroic failure, but it doesn't change anything.
That's true.
You need to get into power to make change.
That's true, but right now the populist ideal is in power in Pacifica.
Yes.
Yes.
And boy,
so,
are we in deep stuff.
Well, you know,
and cause and effect, you know, as they say, correlation isn't necessarily causation,
sure.
But here we are.
But I think there's also I'm not intimately familiar with the situation, so I don't know what kind of sort of reforms have been tried already, if there have been any. But I think a lot of people who would be against this are saying, well, we don't necessarily need to throw the entire thing out. We could make some small changes. We could cut some subcommittees. We could make it a little bit more streamlined. And that way we could lessen some of our expenses and give us a better chance.
I think if you look at our previous elections for the various boards, if you see how few people want to run, which means basically how few choices we have.
Mm-hmm.
I think that by itself, when you have so many positions that you don't have enough people running to fill them, that by itself might indicate that something needs to be done. Okay, I need to get to Gary. I do want to at least have a chance to skim over this dine out or eat in article. And Gary, you are on. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon.
Tell me.
Oh, you were talking about the virus earlier.
Yes.
I just happened to see a chart from a fellow who's the Italian newspaper man in Italy for the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
He posted a graph which talks about the first 803 coronavirus deaths in Italy. He gives a little chart. I won't read it all, but basically, if you're between 60 and 69, the fatality rate is 2.7. 70 to 79 is fatality rate 9.6.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, 80, I'm getting lost in the numbers.
16.6, yeah, over Gary. 90, fatality rate
Gary.
19.
Gary,
yeah, I think we need more of a summary because those numbers on radio, when you're looking at the thing, it makes more sense. So I need you to do it for radio.
The younger you are, the more resilient you are against this virus. There were no people less than 30 that died.
I'm not sure of that, but okay.
Okay.
No, this is the first 803 coronavirus death in Italy. That's just the first 803.
Okay.
That's the only data. So, but the general bigger point is, you were right. You were talking earlier about age and the virus, and it seems the data shows that the older you are, the more dangerous this thing is to you.
And so in the higher age groups, 2% is a hopeful number for a fatality rate. In the older age groups, it's higher. It averages out to about 2%.
Yeah, that's right. Averages out. I think 60 to 69 was 2.7% in this chart. But
bottom
line is, if you're a younger person, you think, well, you know, I didn't die from this, so I don't have to worry about it. You still can't walk around and spread it because the older people are going to catch it from you.
You can be a typhoid Mary.
Yeah, the older people, the immunocompromised people, that's part of our message about this whole coronavirus situation, is that you can't just think about yourself in this specific situation and a lot of other situations.
And it's not that these self-quarantines are going to stop the virus.
No, that's true.
They probably will not. What the objective... it's important to keep the objective in sight. The objective is to keep the spread slow enough that you get it. First of all, among young people, you get a certain herd immunity as people get over it. And also, you can't overwhelm the system by having everybody get sick in a spike all at one time. So to have people get sick in sort of a flattened chart where the medical system can accommodate them, that's the objective.
That's right. It makes it better for everyone.
Exactly.
Otherwise,
especially the people that need it.
Unnecessary deaths.
Exactly.
Yeah, a lot of other unnecessary deaths otherwise. So,
okay.
Just get the message out. Stay home if you can. I guess it's no matter if you can follow the recommendations.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it, Gary.
So, sure.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, I got one more call, and I'm going to try to leave a little time to talk about my favorite article. Johnny, who's on next? Oh, blank call. Well, we don't do blanks. I don't shoot blanks. Anyway, so in USA Today, they had an article, Dine Out or Eat In During the Coronavirus? Here's what public health and food safety experts say. And this is actually kind of interesting, and I'm going to try to digest it down. Is it safe to dine out? Yes, but. Public health experts say it's safe to dine out as long as you take precautions such as frequent cleaning of hands with soap or sanitizer and staying at least 3 feet away from anyone who is coughing or sneezing. I would be on the other side of the room if anyone is coughing or sneezing. Or I'd just tell, you know, they should really just ask them to leave. Taking precautions, you can dine out with fairly minimal risk in most cases, but avoid crowds. Public health advice could change. If you're unsure, go to the CDC website and see what their current guidance is. Pro tips for dining out. Coronavirus is not known to be transmitted through food, but hard surfaces, such as utensils, menus, salt and pepper shakers, condiments, door handles, tables, etc., contaminated by droplets, which can be transferred on a microscopic level. So throughout your meal, each time you touch something, the menu, a ketchup bottle, loading up your burger, avoid touching your face or eating until you wash your hands or rub them with hand sanitizer. One of the biggest benefits in with this virus is that hand sanitizer really is effective against it, and hand washing is a good protective measure. Now, what about buffets? Well, they give me a whole thing. I would recommend against buffets. I mean, they have workarounds. I just think it's tempting fate.
Although with hand sanitizer, I think it's like it has to be 60% alcohol, I believe.
At least 60% alcohol. I will get Rob in. Just give me a minute. I'm talking to my ear. and then, is delivery less risky than dining out? The short answer is yes. The CDC is advising people at high risk or who are lazy in outbreak areas to have, I put in that part, to have food brought to the house by family members, friends, or delivery services. A number of services are letting customers request deliveries be left on the doorstep to limit exposure even more. One delivery vendor is advising drivers to clean their cars and hot bags and urge them to stay home if sick. And one expert says, I think contactless delivery is a good alternative. But again, be sure to wash your hands after handling the packaging. We don't really have a good sense that packaging is a good place to transfer this pathogen. We just don't know. Okay.
And
that was my favorite thing to get to. I wanted to get to that.
And many delivery services still allow you to leave a tip on the service, a percentage.
Well, when you charge it.
When you charge it to your card, exactly. Most delivery services, I think, that are like, DoorDash, Uber Eats, et cetera, they let you do that.
So I want to get to Rob. I did promise people would get on. Rob, you are on the air. How you doing?
Hey, Mike, how you doing? This is Rob Galdemus. I actually worked for you many years ago at Best Buy.
Really? Cool.
Yeah. Sold it selling appliances a long time ago.
Yeah, I can answer questions on appliances. Nobody asks me.
No. Well, no, Mike, listen, I actually was very surprised when I tuned in. I heard your voice, and I said, oh, my God, that's Mike Honig. And I looked you up, and it was you.
Yes, it is.
But anyhow.
I have arrived.
Which is a total pleasure.
Thank you.
To tell you how wonderful it is to hear that you're actually talking about things that matter right now, because everybody wants to make a scare, and you're actually covering the items that matter, which is what to do, what not to do.
Well, so thank you much. I felt that was the story for today.
Yes, because, I mean, you know how it is. It is about selling, and the media has been wonderful at doing that for as long as it existed. So thank you very much for actually coming out here and in the waves and putting out some real wisdom for these people, because people are not paying attention.
Well, I try to find the stuff that's important but not overly publicized, and I hope I've been doing most of that today.
Well, for instance, the bit about the that you just used right now while I was waiting to come on about the dining.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well.
Under-discussed.
People don't want to put the two and two together that, I mean, dining in is one thing, buffet is something altogether different.
Yeah. Sneeze guards are sneeze guards, but, people are people. All right, Rob, if it's okay, I would love to talk to you longer. Call another time earlier in the show.
Will do.
Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate that.
Have a great one. Okay, memories. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Okay, we got, like, a minute for one more caller. Who's up, Johnny? Somebody's up.
Somebody's up.
Put him on, I'll get a name.
Yeah, just let's go right on to him.
Let's go jump in. We're not going to get him. Hmm. Okay, whoever it is, maybe it's a blank line.
Shooting
blanks. Okay. All right, very quickly. Trump has proposed a payroll tax holiday. I see that as a backdoor for aiding in the destruction of Social Security and Medicare, which is what the payroll tax pays for.
Right.
I mean, I think it would be much better to just repeal the tax cuts for corporations and very rich people and use that money to help subsidize people.
Yeah, that'd
because
be nice.
They own 50% of the wealth in the country anyhow, this 1%. And believe me, if you have net worth under $50 million, you're not a target of this tax cut.
No.
So if you have more than $50 million, we're talking about some increment of your wealth. You won't feel it in all likelihood unless you're so fully leveraged that you probably shouldn't be doing that anyway. Okay, my clock is not working, so Johnny looks like he's trying to get me somewhere. I got 1 minute. 1 minute? I don't understand. Why don't you just talk into the mic? Seconds! You've been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. Blues in Hi-Fi with Clint Broussard will follow shortly. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Have you mixed your pain meds, your sleep meds, your allergy meds? Call the Poison Helpline. Has your child eaten a tube of toothpaste, a chip of paint, a wild mushroom? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you been bitten by a spider, a snake, an insect? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
If you decided to donate your birthday to KPFT this year, thank you. If your special day hasn't yet arrived, consider donating your birthday to KPFT. Here's how it works. Facebook sends you a prompt before your birthday asking if you'd like to donate your birthday to a nonprofit. Select KPFT as your organization of choice. Then add a personalized message so that your friends know how much KPFT means to you. On your birthday, they'll receive a Facebook notification asking them to make a donation in your honor to KPFT. Thanks again for supporting 90.1 FM KPFT Houston. Pacifica Radio.